Welcome to Tarrant Hills Jr., Humblewood Edition. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tarrant Hills Jr., we will take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure, but this time, we're all burbs. This podcast is created by and for kids. So let's see what heights we can reach today, because we're burbs.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops, and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the street in these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hello, welcome to Tavern Tales Jr., podcast for kids and adults. I am Malcolm, playing the role of Eddie Adeno. Eddie is, he's a pretty nice bird, and he is a bald eagle. And he is also a paladin.
Ooh. What god does this paladin bald eagle worship?
Eddie worships the god of Rhea. And recently, I almost just died.
What's Eddie's parents like?
They're also pretty nice birds, and they help people when they're hurt or being threatened. And that's how Eddie grew up.
They're pretty nice people. Eddie used to be a bandit captain. Were his parents also bandits or no?
No. Eddie was forced to be a bandit.
Forced to be a bandit?
Oh, actually, his parents were bandits, and Eddie didn't want to be a bandit, but he was forced to be a bandit because of his parents.
Wow, that's saying a lot. So did your parents actually help a lot of people, or were they kind of bad people?
No, they were pretty bad.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Huh, interesting. And Eddie's alignment is what?
He is a lawfully good person, I would say.
That's pretty hard to be a bandit and be lawfully good. Like, you could be good, you could possibly be lawful, but being lawful good, be hard to be a bandit. So no wonder Eddie left that life behind and became a paladin. Who helped Eddie on the path to becoming a paladin?
It was Tim Portence.
Who plays Tim Portence?
Hi, I'm Will, and I play the role of Tim Portence. And Tim Portence is a cleric with the domain of the Storm Domain. And he worships the god of courage, Gaspard.
Ooh. And anything else about Tim?
Well, he never known his parents. He was an orphan. And he also...
But he's wind-touched.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some sort of prophecy or something important about Tim, and he's an orphan? That's scary. But Tim had kind of like a sister-type figure in his life. Who was that?
Rita Harper.
Who is played by?
Hi, I'm Robin. I play Rita Harper. She is a American Robin bard with the alignment of lawful neutral. And she has the background of grounded, which means Rita hates all things flight and gliding and not where she can have her feet planted on the ground. But she's also not very fond of sailing or, like, water travel either, because it's like, my feet aren't on the ground. It's like I'm flying, but on water.
And Rita recently had a conflict, an inter-party conflict with somebody else in the group. Who was that?
April Reaper. She and I never really saw eye to eye on things until we came to an agreement.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Who plays April Reaper?
Hi, I'm Savannah, and I play the role of April Reaper, a blue jay rogue who has the alignment of neutral. And if April was ever questioned, you couldn't really go by any answers on her facial expressions, since one of her traits is that she's hard to read.
Interesting. She's hard to read, is she? What type of bird is she?
A blue jay.
Ooh. And how does April know Eddie?
April and Eddie were in the same bandit group.
Oh my goodness. Why did April leave the bandit group?
She got framed by the other bandits for something that she didn't do and decided to leave that life behind her.
Awesome. Well, I am Kyle, and I am the Dungeon Master and Game Master for Humblewood Adventures.
Plus Wrangler of Children.
Yes, less so these days as you're all getting older. So, welcome to Game 4. If everyone could close their eyes.
My eyes are closed.
We now, in pitch darkness, sink. Feel yourself falling. Falling backwards and down, 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 with your eyes closed, into the world of the imagination. So everything is gray and cloudy, and you can only see the backs of your eyes to begin with. But as you're falling, you start to feel the light upon your body as you fall lovingly and held cradled. So it's not like a scary fall. It's a gentle fall downwards into the imagination, and specifically into the world that Humblewood exists in. And we fall gracefully, gently, like a leaf on the breeze, waving and wafting back and forth as we enter the Alderwood, which is where Humblewood Adventures take place. It is a great green forest, a beautiful forest where you can picture in your mind's eye, you can hear the birds singing, you can smell the nature and the loam of the forest, you can hear the trees rustling to and fro, and a band of the rabbit type, which is what Gaspard is, a band of hares, are rushing through a forest, running away from some sort of figure, a large bear, as their farmers and have been flushed from their edge. And you're falling, and as we fall to the east, away from the forest, towards the scorched grove and the mock fields and the road to the Alder Heart that leads between them. As we fall, we pass by a swarm of ember bats, which are little fiery bats flying in the early evening sky. And we can smell the stench that comes off the mock fields, and we can see the devastation that has happened in the scorched grove as we make our way to the edge of the forest itself and to Winnowing Reach. We settle down and we see upon the road a band of figures helping a cat lady pull her hand cart along the road itself. They all have worried expressions on their faces, and a couple of them are pointing in the sky as the swarm of ember bats descends upon them. Rita Harper is the first to exclaim,
"Duck!"
And we will now all roll initiative. Okay, how did we do on initiative? Who did the best? Ooh, okay. How did you do, Tim?
Dang it. So I got a natural 20, but I actually got a 19.
Oh, because you're minus one? What do we say when we get a natural 20?
The Heart of Humblewood!
How'd you do, Rita?
She got a 21, a natural 20.
Another. Wow, this is starting the game really well.
The Heart!
How about you there, April?
I got an 11.
Ooh. Did you beat an 11 there, Eddie?
I got the worst I could possibly get.
You rolled a...
A 1 plus a 2, which is 3.
Well, that means Eddie is not paying any attention at all to what's going on. What do you think Eddie's doing? Is he like, did a package maybe fall off the handcart and he was bent down and picking it up and didn't realize a huge swarm of bats were coming?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, I will roll the initiative for the swarm of ember bats. Okay.
Who goes first?
We have two natural 20s, but that doesn't stop the swarm from descending upon you and you not getting caught out in the open. So the swarm swoops down and you are all caught unawares and in surprise. And the swarm of ember bats gets to attack one person. So I think because Rita Harper shouted out, "Duck!" that the Ember Bats will try to attack Rita Harper. Ooh, they have only rolled a 15 as they swarm down upon Rita. Does a 15 beat your armor class, Rita?
Yes.
What's your armor class?
12.
They are all in Rita's space as this swarm of Ember Bats punches in and attacks you, and you take 5 piercing damage. They bite and sting and otherwise damage you. There's a little bit of piercing damage as well as fire damage in there. Ooh. And because they're all around you, anybody who starts their turn within 5 feet of the Ember Swarm has to make constitution saving throws or get caught up in fire. So they've caught up. Rita's right in the middle of you. You're all surrounded by Rita, and these bats are everywhere in your faces, making their high-pitched squeals. You can hear the singe of their fiery breath upon your bodies as we go into initiative, and it is Rita's turn. So Rita, make a constitution saving throw.
6.
6 is not enough. You take 2 points of fire damage as these ember bats swarm upon you. What would you like to do with your turn, Rita?
Run.
Sure, yeah. Are you going to just disengage entirely and that'll be your action? Or do you want to like run, take an attack of opportunity from these bats, and then do something?
I'd like to just disengage.
Okay, yeah, you can disengage from combat. You know, duck and weave and describe that for me, please. Where do you go?
Rita sees that she's being swarmed by a bunch of bats, and she ducks under one, slides to get away from one, and then has to, like, because she was out strumming a melody for a little bit, because she was just practicing some new songs she was writing for the band that she's a part of, and Rita has to bat one away with her ukulele slash lute or whatever.
Cool. Okay, yeah, that's great. And you dash away. How many feet can you move in a turn?
25.
So you disengage, and that is your action, and then you move 25 feet away. Okay, yeah, you're out of the distance. You're not on fire. You're out of the way of these ember bats, and that is your turn, Rita. Tim, what are you going to do? First, roll a constitution saving throw, or you're caught on fire.
5.
You have failed, and you take 2 points of fire damage as you get caught on fire by a stray ember bat singeing you where? Where do you get singed there? Tim, on the back of your neck, on your elbow, where do you get singed, Tim?
Right on the toe.
On the toe? Okay, great. Sure, yeah. On your foot? I love it. You get singed. It is your turn. What do you want to do?
I'm going to try to run, like, forwards. I have a 30 speed.
You're going to run away, or are you going to attack these bats?
I'm going to run away.
Oh, okay, you can disengage as well. Please describe your disengage. Or, wait, are you actually going to do anything, or are you going to disengage?
Can I make an attack of...
You can make an attack and then run away, but you will have an attack of opportunity made against you by the bats, which is okay, because Tim has a lot of armor, and he's very well protected. So okay, he could probably handle an attack of opportunity from these bats. Describe for me what you're going to do then, Tim.
While I was backing up, I was holding my warhammer, and I accidentally closed my eyes and swang.
Okay.
And a bunch of the bats got... Is there, like, any walls around?
Nope, there's no walls, just middle of open air.
I accidentally spinned around, and the bats keep on spinning around in my warhammer.
Cool, I love it, yes. You spin the warhammer around and try to swing and hit a bunch of these bats right where Rita used to be. Roll your attack.
Does 11 hit?
11 plus what? Because you're using your warhammer, right?
Does 14 hit?
Absolutely. You have crushed into these bats while you're rolling your damage and trying to figure out how much damage you do with your warhammer. We will move on because it is April's turn before the bats.
So do the constitution save.
Yes, please do your constitution saving throw.
An 8.
That is not enough. You take 2 points of fire damage as well. Where does April get singed and burned?
Let's say her left elbow.
Yes, I love it. The inside of the elbow or the outside of the elbow?
Inside.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds painful. What does she say when she gets singed?
She yelps in pain and grabs, like, the inside of her elbow, like...
Cool. Do you want to do that yelp for me? How much damage did you do with your warhammer, Will?
9.
Ooh, really? That's a lot of damage.
I got an 8 plus 1.
Wow. Whoa. That's as much damage as you could possibly get. You said you swung wildly around, and you know that if you'd been hitting a regular foe, that would have done all of the damage to them. You would have clocked him in the head, and he would have been badly wounded. But this is a swarm of bats, and so you're not doing 100% damage. Lots of the bats are getting out of the way of your attack, and so you only do half damage when you hit them with your warhammer. You're going to have to figure out some other spell or attack that will not be mitigated by the fact that this is a swarm of tiny creatures.
Now can I disengage?
Yes, you can now run away. The bats make their swiping attack at you, but they miss you as you run away. And that was their attack of opportunity. If anybody else runs away, they won't be able to do so. One last second there, Tim. Did you run and stand next to Rita, or did you run in a completely different direction from Rita?
Completely different direction.
Cool. Rita, are you still on the road, or did you run off into the swamp or the burned forest?
She's still on the road, actually.
So then, Tim, are you still on the road the other way, or did you run into the swamp or the forest?
Forest.
Okay, sounds good. The forest is all burned down, and it's nothing but stumps, so it's difficult terrain out here in the woods. April, everyone keeps running away.
I'm not going to do that.
So what are you going to do?
April's going to use her rapier.
Now, you're standing right next to the bats, and you're standing right next to Eddie Adeno, so you'll get to use your sneak attack if you hit. Go for it.
I rolled a 1.
Well, then you have definitely missed. And I will advise you, Savannah, you're only ever going to get one attack around with this sort of character. And if you want to be able to hit things, given how badly you roll, that when we start looking at your next character, you should make a character that forces the dungeon master to do rolling for saving throws and things like that instead of you having to roll.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Okay, you stab into the middle of the swarm of ember bats and you miss all of them. Your rapier goes into the swarm and you feel nothing as they all evade the tiny slender blade of April Reaper's rapier. That was your turn. What else would you like to do? Anything? You going to move, or are you going to do something else? You might be able to use a bonus action to hide if you'd like to, but you'd have to describe for me where you're hiding.
I'm going
to
use a bonus action to hide, and there is a fallen over burnt log.
Not far away?
Not far away, and she goes and lays behind that.
Cool. Okay, make your hide check.
A 15.
Well, then you have hidden extremely successfully, and both Rita and Tim have no idea where you are. Eddie, whose turn it is almost, he knows where you are because Eddie watches you run and jump and throw yourself over a log.
And I just stand there in front of the storm of bats, watching you just... I'm now here by myself, inside of the storm of bats.
Are you going to run or not?
That is the question.
I think I have the highest armor class here.
Oh, Sav, you got to pick two skills that you doubled your proficiency on. Did you want to choose deception, survival, insight, or acrobatics?
Deception and acrobatics.
No, you already picked stealth. So you want acrobatics?
Yeah.
Okay, Eddie, it's the bat's turn, and you're the only one who's by the bats. So the bats are going to attack you, because they're not going to fly anywhere to go try to attack anybody else. So the bats swarm towards you, Eddie. They enter your space, and they're buzzing, and they're stinging, and they're biting you. And do you have a 12 or lower armor class?
I have higher.
What's your armor class?
16.
Oh my, they don't manage to get a bite on you. They cannot get a hold of around your armor.
So they really missed me.
Yeah, they do. They really miss you. They don't manage to get a bite on you at all. And that's their turn. They are in your space, in your face. It is the start of your turn, and you need to take 2 points of fire damage if you don't make this constitution saving throw. Did you beat a 10?
11.
Then you have beat a 10 and you don't take any damage. That's great. Eddie, what do you want to do?
Can I use one of my spells?
Of course you can use one of your spells. Which spell would you like to use?
Something right here. Can I use that?
That's fighting style.
Yeah, can I use that?
That's not a spell, bud.
Oh, what is it?
That just means that your fighting style is defensive, so while you're wearing armor, you get a +1 bonus to armor class, which has already been calculated into your sheet.
So
here is your list of spells, and you put check marks by the ones you prepared. Bless is the one that helps your friends. Cure wounds makes everybody not hurt. Detect magic. Well, not really any magic to detect. And then the other one you picked was purify food and drink. So nothing else you can really do at the moment for fighting sort of stuff.
You could heal everybody, though.
No, he can't. He could only heal one person, and you'd have to touch them.
And everyone's really far away because they all ran away.
But you could do this thing called Divine Smite. You will need to call upon Rhea. You will then spend one of your spells that you have, not the prepared type, but the fact that you have a certain number of spell slots. So what happens is when you hit a creature with your melee weapon, you can expend one spell slot to do radiant sun damage to the target. And if you'd use one of your first level spells, you'll get to roll an extra 2 8-sided dice in damage to the creature. Would you like to do that?
But there's multiple of them.
Right, but we treat the swarm as kind of like one creature, as opposed to treating it as like 20 teeny tiny creatures. So would you like to use a smite to hit the creature?
Sure.
All right, so tell me, first you have to roll your d20 and see if you hit.
Please say I hit.
Well, if you really want to hit, remember, you all have those blue gems. And if you spend a blue gem, you can have advantage, which means you get to roll 2d20 to make the check. Would you like to do that?
There's a blue gem right here.
So do you want to spend a blue gem?
I will spend a blue gem.
Awesome.
If you hit, then these are d8s.
There you go. Yeah. So roll 2 and take the higher roll. Add your longsword.
23.
That is more than enough to hit. So, how much damage do you do normally with a longsword? With a longsword, you do 1d8 plus 3. If you're going to add a smite to this, you'll roll 3d8. But before you do the smite, you have to tell me what magical words or what prayer to Rhea do you make in the plea to make this a divine smite.
Rhea, can I have a smite? Please, I am in a fight.
That's pretty good. Seems pretty regular, though. Is there anything epic you might want to say?
Like, for my other spell, when I healed him, I said, with courage and confection, the last among us can inspire the greatest, which is Demogra.
That's the dogma. Yeah, that doesn't seem too helpful, does it? What is the dogma for Rhea? Do you want to read that for us?
Seek out unknown horizons. Your skills can take you anywhere if properly harnessed.
Cool. So what do you think we could say for a divine smite to spend one of your spell slots, and you don't have very many, to cause all this extra damage to happen to this ember swarm? What would we say? Any ideas? Anybody want to help? Well, I have an idea. It's like, to the horizon with you, boom. Or, in Rhea's name, bam.
Yeah.
Or you could say one of the dogmas of Rhea is the tempest or the storm.
To the horizon of Rhea.
Cool. Yeah. Anybody else got any other offers for Malcolm? So he can have a whole bunch to draw from later on? Sav, you got anything? Even the dumbest thing you could think of, which was...
No, I honestly don't.
Lies. I know when one. You think things and then you're like, not going to say that.
I have a really good one.
Don't have one.
All right, what's yours, Will?
The wind will rise again.
Ooh, that's good.
I will harness my abilities in Rhea's name.
That's something like guidance or whatnot. Remember, you're going to smite these creatures and drive them down.
I kind of want to do to the horizon of Rhea.
Yes, cool. Then that's what happens. Now roll your 3d8.
17.
Holy moly!
My god! Are they dead?
No, they are not dead. But half of them have been utterly destroyed in this blast of magical, radiant magic blasted down from the heavens by Eddie Adeno. Eliza hides behind her cart and tries to get cover from the stinging bats. And she goes, ah, oh, they've got me.
Somebody save her. She needs help.
Well, we are now back again to the top of the round where it is Rita's turn. Rita, you can see the ember bats have started to light the handcart on fire. Eliza herself has been burned slightly, and you can see Eddie Adeno has just rained radiant damage down upon the bats. What would you like to do?
I'd like to, viciously mock the entire swarm.
Absolutely. That's a great choice.
Right now, I'm just envisioning a bunch of bats, and they're making, a giant bat mouth. So, yeah, I'm going to talk to the bats.
All right, you viciously mock the bats. You strum your ukulele, and you shout out and say,
I bet your mother wouldn't be too proud of this, would she? You pathetic morons. Waste of space, useless fire beasts.
You've backed off, you've run away. They have to make a save. Do you remember what save they have to make in order to avoid vicious mockery?
It's a wisdom.
I have rolled a natural 3, and you know what? They're only +0 on wisdom saving throws, so you've succeeded. You have viciously mocked them. What sort of damage does that do?
1d4 psychic damage. 2, and they have disadvantage on their next turn.
Wow. Well, that's going to be very effective on damaging from their next turn. Would you like to do anything else with your turn, Rita Harper the Bard? Would you like to pass on Bardic Inspiration to anyone?
I'd like to give Bardic Inspiration to Eddie, because he's the one standing there fighting.
Inspire him, please.
Eddie.
What?
You're strong and courageous. I know you can fight these bats. They're nothing to what you've done in the past.
And you kind of rhyme bats with past, and it passes muster. And Eddie, you now have an extra d8 on an attack roll or saving throw or ability check you would like to make over the next 10 minutes. You're quite some distance away, standing in the field of scorched earth. What would you like to do?
I would like to run over to the swamp, jump into it, and do a hide check.
You don't want to attack?
I don't want to die.
You're nowhere near the bats.
Okay, I'm going to run over there and start hitting them with my warhammer.
Remember, you're a cleric.
Oh, yeah.
And you have spells and things.
Can I toll the dead?
Of course you can toll the dead. Does anybody remember what Will's character's toll the dead sounds like? What bell sound comes from when he does toll the dead?
Ding dong.
That's right. So you toll the dead. Is that a saving throw on the part of the creatures? Or is it an attack roll?
You point at one creature, which...
Yes.
You can see within range, and the sound of a doorless bell fins the air around it for a moment. The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take 1d8 necrotic damage. If the target is missing any of its hit points, it instead takes 1d12 necrotic damage.
Awesome. So tell me, what do you say? What are the words you say again when you do toll the dead?
You need to be more compassionate.
And then you toll the dead on them with no compassion. All right. What is your spell saving throw?
14.
I have rolled a 13, so you have succeeded. Please roll 1d12 damage.
Yay. A 1.
Okay.
The whole swarm takes 1 damage.
All of that, and they take only 1 point of damage. That's too bad. So the swarm is not destroyed. Maybe one bat goes, oh, that hurt, and flew away. As we move now to April Reaper's turn.
I am going to use my short bow.
Okay. Thankfully, Eddie's engaged in combat. You're hiding, so you have advantage on this check. You pop up. The swarm did not know you were there, and you shoot at them. And you get...
a 23.
I think you finally hit there, April. So now you may apply your sneak attack bonus to this as you roll your damage.
10 damage.
It looks like your arrow only catches a few bats. Does a bit. They are still around, though. They are still there. They are still... And yeah, so your arrow goes through the bats off far into the swamps. Oh, you're on the swamp side, right? Because you went into the swamp side and found a rolled log? Or did you go onto the scorched wood side and hide behind a tree there?
I went on the swamp side.
The swamp side. So your arrow goes into the scorched trees. If you would like to find your arrow later, you can attempt to do so with a survival check. But right now, the arrow is gone. Is there anything else you'd like to do with your turn?
Nah.
Okay, you just kind of stand there heroically on the tree with one leg up on it, your short bow drawn and another arrow being pulled from your quiver?
Yes.
Excellent. You can say those sorts of things next time if you want to, yeah. So, it is now the bat's turn again. The bats do not like this. Many of the bats are dead. They do not have very many hit points left, but those few bats that are remaining will attempt to get into the armor of Eddie Adeno as he's there amongst them. Ooh, I think I got you finally, Eddie. I have a 19 to get you. So that definitely hits. So you take 5 piercing damage as they bite you. Where do they bite, Eddie?
Like in my neck.
In the neck. Oh, you get a severe bite in the neck and blood trickles down your chest. You take 5 points of damage. It is now Eddie's turn, and you need to make that constitution saving throw. Roll that d20 to save. How'd you do?
I got a 2.
Oh no, that is definitely, even with your constitution bonus, not enough to get to 10. You take 2 fire damage. So now you're minus 7 hit points. Okay, and what would you like to do with your turn?
I think I might finally actually run away.
Oh, you're going to run away from the bats now? Are you going to disengage so that you don't take an attack of opportunity, or are you going to attack and then run away and take that attack of opportunity? Just so you know, you're the only thing that's protecting the cart and Eliza from these bats, because everybody else ran away.
I'm not going to run away.
No, that's a good idea. Okay, so you don't run away, and what do you do?
My longbow probably would be a really bad idea, so I'm going to try to swing around with my longsword.
Cool, you swing around with your longsword, trying to get all the bats in your area, and you spin them, you swing, roll your attack. Did you get a 12 or higher?
I got a 4.
Oh no, and 4 plus 5 is only 9, so you've missed. And that, Eliza goes, oh no, they're after the cart. And that is the end of the round. We go to round 3. Friends, I did not... Oh, wait, Eddie, I forgot. And Robin didn't remind me when I made my attack on you when they got to bite your neck. They actually had disadvantage because of the vicious mockery
Sorry.
Of Rita. And so I need to re-roll to make sure... What?
I forgot I got to roll.
Oh, you don't have to. You get to choose whether or not you're going to add that D8 to it. And you know what? It was not a good idea to add it in, because you only get to add +8 and you only had like a 9. The likelihood was like 50-50 that it wouldn't work. Anyway, so don't worry about it this time. So here we go. Let's see if they actually hit you. Nope, I still got another 15. So we're okay this time. Okay. So they had their disadvantage used up, and it is the top of the round again, where we will now see Rita hopefully finish these bats off with...
Vicious Mockery?
Oh, okay, you're in Vicious Mockery them again.
What did you think I was going to do, Dad?
I don't know. They don't have very many hit points left.
Yes.
So they will roll their save. I have a natural 17, so I think they save. That means they doesn't take any damage and they're not implosed by disadvantage.
I made it like a fat joke and they're all like, nah.
Yeah, we haven't eaten in weeks. What are you talking about? So that was Rita's turn. It is now Tim's turn. Tim, what are you going
to
do?
Can I run over there and hit them with my Warhammer?
It would be more effective to use Toll the Dead. You have a higher degree of success. All right, Will shows me the card, Toll the Dead. I will make the saving throw. Holy crap, I have a natural 19. They save against your Toll the Dead. You don't do any damage to them either. This round is not going well. April, help us save the day.
April is going to use her short bow again.
Okay, just so you know, April, you're doing very low amounts of damage when you use your short bow because it's just a bow. So go ahead, roll it up.
Why are these bats so angry? Yeah, I don't know. Are they just coming?
How'd you do?
I got another 25.
Then you have succeeded with admirable ability. Roll your damage.
Is it normal damage this time?
You still get sneak attack. Oh, wait. No, you don't get sneak attack because they're in Eddie's square. So just roll the... I think you're going to kill them anyway, though. So just roll the D8 like you would normal.
9.
They only had 2 hit points left. So even if we divide that in half and they do 4, that's still more than they had. Ladies and gentlemen, children of these ages, we have killed all of the ember bats.
Like 13, 12.
The last ember bat falls to the ground somehow from a short bow arrow.
Oh, right.
Why didn't she just pick it up from the ember bat?
And the swarm is out. The fire dies down. Eddie, you're standing there. A couple of the packages are still on fire. And Eliza dashes forward and says, "Oh no, help me put the packages out."
"Of course, of course."
"Yeah, you guys are just 25 feet away." Of course, yeah, sure."
"No, I'm 30.
All right, so what do you say then, Eddie? As everybody rushes back to the party.
"I'm hyperventilating, okay?"
"Availing-ling?"
"I'm hyperventilating. Why are you making fun of my accent, Eddie?"
"Quick, put the fire out. The packages are still on fire."
Put the fires out. Very easy.
Grab some water from the swamp.
Yeah, swamp water. All right. Well, they weren't too on fire, but you tap out and pat out the packages, and you've dealt with the ember bats, and everybody takes a big, heavy breath and sigh. And you're standing there on the road.
Wait,
just as the sun's coming towards setting.
Aren't I on fire?
No, they just singed you.
"You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods. Head over the river and through the woods."
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at @tavern_tales. See you all later!
"I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word.